Come on, are you grateful that Christ came at Christmas? Hey, remain standing if you would for the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 1. And in verse 18, it says, "This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Behold, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." Come on, if you're thankful that Christ came and he is God with you and for you on Christmas and in every season and every moment of life, come on, give him your best praise tonight. Give him your best praise tonight. Hey, it's so good to be with you this evening. You could be seated. As you're being seated, maybe find someone to your left or your right. Come on, wish someone a Merry Christmas. Maybe encourage someone. Tell them that they're looking good at Christmas in the house of God. Once again, I want to welcome those of you joining us online. So thankful for our online church community and that you'd be making time to worship with us at Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm so grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that we don't serve a God who remains hidden away from us, causing us to just have to wonder about his character and his nature. He didn't leave us to discover him through an analytical pursuit, perusing a vast library of profound theological texts on the topic of religion. He didn't leave us to look deep within ourselves to find him while the time came to bring about the plan of salvation, redemption, and hope. When the time came for the price to be paid for my sin, my pride, my rebellion, when the time came for God to initiate his plan to give us a new life, a fresh start, for forgiveness, for the past to be washed away, for the opportunity to be made new again, when that time came, the Creator stepped into creation. Majesty into a manger. He laid down the privileges of heaven, the privilege of a throne, and he came to make his home amongst us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 speaks of this. It says, "Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." And it struck me in a new way that when God initiated Christmas, when God initiated the plan to send his son, to send the Savior, he sent him in the most relatable of circumstances. He could have written it any way that he saw fit. We sang about it earlier. He could have shown up with heaven's armies in the streets of Rome and showed them splendor like they had never known. But what are we singing? We said, but he wrote a better story when it came to that humble manger in Bethlehem. The unfolding of Christmas, God's plan to save me, to save you, God's plan to bring restoration to a fallen world by design and with intentionality included these things. God used unlikely people, really? A teenage girl engaged to be married to a carpenter? Wouldn't you think that God would have saw fit to introduce all of heaven into earth with some grandiose plan to introduce Jesus on the grandest of stages that mankind would know. But no, he used a teenage girl, a teenage boy, betrothed to be wed. He's still in the business of using normal people, usual people, to partner, to fulfill and accomplish his purposes. And because by design and with intentionality, this is part of the Christmas story, here's the encouragement we could take from it. You're never too far gone. You're never too beneath what God desires to do. He's always looking for someone who will just say yes to his promises, yes to his purposes. It's what Mary responded. No doubt there was a challenge in her heart, but eventually she summoned the strength to say, I'm your servant. Have your way through me. The unfolding of Christmas, by design and with intentionality, included God choosing unlikely people. He's still in the business. It included an unforeseen interruption. No doubt Mary and Joseph were longing for, anticipating the day on which they would be wed, anticipating the honeymoon, anticipating coming back and building a home and building a life that they had longed to build together. And all of it was turned on its head with one word from God. And it speaks to us that maybe have experienced something unforeseen or unexpected in our life. We had our best made plans. We had an idea of how it was gonna go or how it should have gone. And it didn't go the way we expected. And the promise and the word and the encouragement for you today is that you might have experienced something unforeseen. You might have gone through something that was unexpected. It wasn't part of the expectation or the story the way with which you would have written it. And because by design and with intentionality, Christmas included an unforeseen interruption, an unforeseen circumstance, I'm telling you today that the same God who worked through an unforeseen circumstance, something unexpected in the lives of Mary and Joseph, he'll do the same in your life. If you'll just take that unforeseen, unexpected thing, that challenge, that circumstance, if you'll just present it into his presence and say, God, I didn't know it was gonna go like this. I didn't know I was gonna have to walk through this, but I'm trusting in you. Because the story, the unfolding of Christmas by design and with intentionality included unforeseen circumstances and interruption, I'm telling you today, you can trust and you can believe that God will work out your story if you'll just look to him. When the girl that he loved came to him with the news that she was pregnant and the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, at best, that would be difficult to believe. Can you imagine? Could you believe it for yourself? We have the benefit and the hindsight of over 7 billion people's lives and hearts being transformed by that baby that was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the virgin's womb. We have the benefit of the hindsight of our hearts being reached and changed by the gospel that little baby that was conceived in that virgin's womb by the Holy Spirit would one day go to that cross to fulfill and accomplish for you and for me. Joseph didn't have that benefit. The reality for Joseph was likely pain and confusion and doubt, something unforeseen, unexpected, and unbelievable. Could this really be? And God, why me? And the encouragement today is for those of you who would say, God, could this really be? And God, why me? The unforeseen, unexpected circumstances were part of God's plan, and he'll work it out. All things for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The Christmas story, I believe, by design and with intentionality, also included an unplanned journey in an inopportune, inconvenient time. Really, Mary must have said, I'm 9 months pregnant and we've got a journey. We've got to travail to Bethlehem. And there were no SUVs. There were no minivans for this mom. No, it was likely on the back of a plodding donkey. Best case, a camel. And I'm not sure which would have been worse. Slow, but steady. Rough, but reliable. Making the journey to Bethlehem one plodding, jolting step at a time, perhaps with Mary grimacing upon each of those jolting steps as waves of contractions began to signal the impending arrival of the Messiah. And maybe some of us have found ourselves interrupted and in an unplanned moment, in an unplanned journey. We didn't see ourselves ever walking through this season that God is now writing into the story of our life. And my encouragement to you is to allow God, even though it might seem difficult, allow God, even though it might seem slow, allow God, even though it might seem challenging, that on the other side of the journey, there's a promise in your life as well. And I'm convinced that the story of Christmas by design and with intentionality, God could have written it any way he saw fit, but it also involved disappointment and rejection. Perhaps as Mary and Joseph were arriving in Bethlehem, there was the hope and perhaps even the expectation. Maybe Joseph, whose family was from the area, had said, there's a fine hotel that you guys can find yourself in. Maybe Joseph had said, Mary, hang in there. We're about to get to Bethlehem. There's a hotel there. They have the finest linens imported from Egypt. We can draw a hot bath. We can soothe ourselves from the weariness. We can wash ourselves from the dustiness of these many long days spent traveling from afar. But you know the rest of the story. When they arrived at that destination, there was no room for them in the inn. And perhaps the most important thing I can say or question I can phrase to you tonight is, are you making room? Are you making room for Jesus in your life? Are you making room for the work of God in your heart? Or are you allowing the things and the people and the pleasures and the pursuits of this world to crowd out the place in your heart that was only intended for Jesus to fill? Would you make room for him? Especially in this season, this Christmas, perhaps to see it differently. We sang about it, the tinsel and the presents, all those things are nice, but the real gift of Christmas is him. By design, with intentionality, I believe that it didn't catch God off guard that there was gonna be no room in that inn. Maybe God's intention all along was that it would not transpire in the Marriott, but rather in the manger, a humble scene for a humble king. And maybe it was part of God just saying, I'm coming to get down into the middle of the dirt of the lives of my people who have gotten swept up into pride and sin and rebellion. I'm coming to be a real God. I'm coming to get into the real stuff of your lives. I'm coming to be an approachable kind of God. You see right here, this is the nativity scene that I grew up with in my home all throughout my life. I can never remember another one. And probably the earliest memories that I have of Christmas involved this nativity that was placed under the real Christmas tree that my mom and dad would load up, my brother Preston and I, and we would drive to the parking lot of Kmart or maybe TG&Y. Who remembers TG&Y when you were a kid? And we'd buy that tree, we'd tie it on the top of the car, we'd take it home. My dad would cut off the bottom of the trunk and we'd place it in that red and green tree holder. And we would screw those little set screws down onto that tree. And then my responsibility, my brother's responsibility, would be to make sure that every day we checked that there was water in that tree that was going to nourish that tree and keep it fresh throughout the Christmas season. And oftentimes as we would take that water to kind of fill up that red bowl that was containing that tree, we'd linger underneath that tree that was kind of dimly lit and was decorated with strands of popcorn and cranberries that my mom had meticulously woven onto a string with a needle. How many remember that? How many of you happen to have that in your life? If you were a kid when that happened, I know you were a kid of the 80s right here. And oftentimes I remember lingering underneath that tree, just gazing upon and staring upon this very nativity scene. There was another nativity scene in my life, and it was a little bit different than this one. And it was found at my grandmother's house. We called her Mama. Mama was an amazing woman, an extravagant woman. She was an elegant woman. She was a beautiful woman. Met my grandpa in the European theater in World War II, fell in love, came back to America to build their life together. And again, Mama was an elegant woman. Christmas at Mama's house was a little bit more formal. You put your tie on, you kind of straightened yourself up a little bit to go to Mama's house. And then she was attentive to every detail, the way that the table was set and the music and the mood and the lighting was all established. And she was busy kind of making sure that everything was in place for the family. And in her house, there was a nativity scene, but it was different than this one that we probably purchased on the end cap of a Kmart. This one was likely special ordered from maybe Saks Fifth Avenue or Neiman Marcus. And it was these large porcelain characters that were very ornate and very delicately painted to exquisite precision and detail. And amongst all the things that Mama was involved in with hosting the family Christmas, one of the things that she was definitely involved in was making sure that all of us little grandkids would look at the nativity but not touch. That we would look but not touch. Because of the exquisite beauty, because of the fragility, and because of the value, both nativities were special. But can I just submit to you that it's possible that this one is more representative of the heart of the Father that was the motivation for Christmas? That he wanted to come in a real way, in a reachable way, in a touchable way. In fact, the Bible says real clearly that because of Jesus, because of Christmas, it says this, Hebrews 14, this high priest of ours, speaking of Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings and trials that we do, yet he did not sin. And because he came and he can relate to us, he understands the stuff that we're going through. He experienced all those things, unforeseen things, painful things, right from the start that were woven in to the story of Christmas. And it says, because he experienced all those things, yet he did not sin. Watch what the next verse says. It says, therefore, because of this, we can come boldly to God's throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, not just on your good days, not just on your religious days, not just when you're dressed up for the Christmas service, not just when everyone's smiling in the social media post or the Christmas card picture. He says, you can come boldly to my throne of grace because of Christmas, because Jesus came. You can come boldly to my throne, and it's a throne of grace even in, what's the rest of the scripture, in your time of need. Philippians 2, we read it earlier, if we read on. It says that Jesus made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. That's how he came at Christmas. It was by design and with intention. If God wanted it to be different, he could have written it in a different way. And it says, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Pastor T, it sounds like you're getting into more of a message that would be appropriate for Easter. Well, let me encourage you with something. The manger happened with the cross in mind. The baby Jesus came to become the Savior Jesus, to come into the brokenness of humanity, not to establish a holiday, not to establish all those things, the gifts and the tinsel and the party and the presents. All those things are nice, but Christmas happened with the cross in mind. He came to enter into a fallen world. He came to say, I'm going to get right into all your stuff, right into all your mess. You got confusion, you got hurt, you got pain, you got disillusionment, you got doubt in your mind. Those are all going to be interwoven into the story of Christmas. I'm going to show you how I redeem those things, how I restore those things, how I'm going to heal your heart. Because he came majesty in exchange for a manger. Would you stand to your feet this Christmas? And as you're standing, as I often ask you to do, would you just ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And then would you just make some space this Christmas before we get back? We're close to done. We're gonna get you back into your get-togethers and your gatherings and whatever it is that you have in store, but would you just take a moment and just ask the Lord, God, what are you speaking to me this Christmas? And for maybe some of us, he's showing us, he's convicting us, he's challenging us that maybe there is no room for him in our lives. We're caught up in the hustle and bustle, preoccupied with the cares of this world, pursuing the things that this world says that we need to pursue to be successful or achieve status. And he's saying, would you just allow me to come back in? Would you make room for me in your marriage? Would you make room for me in your home? Would you make room for me in your heart or your mind? And this Christmas, I just believe that there's some of you, he's knocking at the door of your heart. And would you let him in, and would you lay down the things that have maybe taken the place that is intended to only be filled by him? Or maybe you're here today and you're weighed down by the burden of your sin. At what time like Christmas? What better time than Christmas to put your faith in the free gift of salvation that we have access to through the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Christmas happened with the cross in mind. And you're here today and you're weighed down by your sin, your guilt, the shame, the condemnation that the enemy tries to use to keep you at arm's length, looking at God but not touching, not approaching. And today he says, I'm Emmanuel. And I laid down all the benefits of heaven to come after you, to chase after you, to make a way for you to have a fresh start and a new life. Or maybe you're here today and you believe in God. You once maybe even loved God or served God, but you've just drifted from God. And if that's you today in this room or people joining us online, if that's you today, Jesus told us a parable, a story about someone like you. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. The one who went and determined to live life his own way and his own strength. And eventually, just like all of us who try to do that, we end up at the end of ourselves, the end of our funds, the end of our friends. And that wayward one in that parable that Jesus told, he said, maybe I can go home and my father will just make me a servant in his house. Some of you know the rest of the story, some of you don't, so I'm gonna tell you. The heart of the father was anything but that. The heart of the father, if you go and reread the parable, he was obviously looking for, longing for, praying for, eagerly expecting and anticipating that moment when that wayward one, that prodigal son, would just take one step back towards him. Because what we read is that father ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, put a ring on his finger, a royal robe on his back, said, kill the fatted calf, call a feast, call a festival, let's have a party because my wayward one has come back home. So if that's you, you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, you need the free gift of salvation. You need to be set free from the bondage and the weight of sin. Or you need to come back home, back into the arms of your heavenly Father. And there's no better time like Christmas. There's no better time like right now. Here's what I want to ask you to do if that's you. I want to ask you to take a step just like that prodigal son did. And here's the step I want to ask you to take. Right now, without delay, would you just lift your hand high towards heaven on this Christmas? And just say, that's me. I want to receive. I want to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's me. I want to come home. I want to make room. I want to get right with God. I want to get back to a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I want to grow. I want to step out of a season of being lukewarm or cold or complacent in my life and once again be close to Him. Not just believing in Him, but serving Him and loving Him. And giving myself to him because he first loved me. And if you raised your hand, you could lower it. Man, there's some amazing people. There's some amazing people. There's some amazing people that came home to their heavenly father that said, yes, you're receiving the free gift of salvation. That's what Christmas is all about. And here's what we want to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but you're going to hear this whole church family pray it with you. Because we want you this Christmas to hear the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God in Christ, coming alongside you to support you. This is a first way that we're gonna show our love and our care, our concern, our support for you. There's other ways that we'll do it. If you'll come and you'll become a part of this church family. But right now, you're gonna hear us praying this prayer with you. And right now, come out with these amazing people who on this Christmas said yes to Jesus or came home to their father. Let's pray this prayer, repeat it after me, and pray it with some boldness this Christmas. Come on, say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, say this, because of Christmas, say this, I will never be the same. And once you've said it, come on, let's rejoice with all of heaven for these precious people who came home to God